We're on Samach Zion Amud Beis, all the way at the bottom of the page, the two dots. More stories about giving tzedakah in a way that is the most respectful of those who are receiving it. So the story goes as follows: Rabbi Abba Havitzayer Zuzei Besudrei Veshadi Le'Acharei. So Rabbi Abba used to take money and wrap it in a scarf and put it over his shoulder.
Well, we put it over his shoulder,
so if someone was coming to take the money, he wouldn't see them. So he would do two things. So first of all, he would close his eyes, so he would, you know, he wouldn't be able to see. On the one hand, so that people wouldn't feel bad that they were taking money. At the same time, he would keep his eyes open. Rashi says umatzle ine. So Rashi says umata ine of klapi achorav. He would still put his eyes a little bit behind him. There oh shelo yavor amai. So there was, you know, on the one hand, that's a smart idea because you can have people can come and take and they don't have to feel embarrassed. On the other hand, there's a concern that people will come who don't deserve it because they don't see, you know, it's freebies and nobody's going to see who they are. So he would, you know, put it behind his shoulder so that the aniyim would, you know, he wouldn't see the aniyim, but he would still make sure that, you know, someone else wasn't coming. Okay. I remember Chanina. Havahahu Anya, the Havaragil Lishture Le, Arba Zuze Komalishabsa. So he had Rabbi Chanina had a certain poor person that he would give four zuz every Erev Shabbos. Yomachada Shadrinu Niale, Biadibisu. So one day he sent the money with his wife to deliver to this man. So Asai, she came back. Amrale, Lo tzarach, she said to him, he doesn't need it. Remember, he had a story like this before. There's other cases, the person sent it and he sent his son, right? The son came back, he doesn't need it. So why now he say he doesn't need it? So my chazis, what did you see? So shame da havika amri le, bama atasoid, betli kasef or betli zahav. Well, you heard them asking the question, which type of tablecloth would you like? Would you like a tablecloth of gold or a tablecloth of silver or a tablecloth of gold? Rashi explains it's not really a tablecloth of gold and silver, but Rashi says, b'mapos, the top Rashi, b'mapos shal pishtan, levanos o b'shal meshi tzivuos. So either it was a white tablecloth or a colored tablecloth, but they were very, you know, very expensive and they were, you know, had these very special colors or white because, you know, depending on what they were, but they were very fancy tablecloths, right? So Hani Damri, so point being, she's using this super fancy tablecloth. Clearly, he doesn't need your four zuz each Erev Shabbos. He has plenty. So Amar Hani Da. So he said Hani Da Amar Rabbi Elazar Bo V'Nachzek Tova L'Ramayin. So he says this is what Rabbi Elazar was talking about when he said the following: he said, let's give thanks to the people who try to trick us, right? The people who try to keep us from, you know, giving tzedakah to the right people because they themselves try to collect tzedakah when they don't deserve it. Why? If it wasn't for them, because if it wasn't for them, we would be sinners every single day. Why is that? Right? If the person comes to you and asks for tzedakah, you don't give it to them, so then
they'll call out to me. You'll give them the tzedakah that they need,
so then they'll call out to me and it's going to be within you, achay. So what? Why? So how does it help us? So look at Rashi. Hanu chotim, sha'anu malim and ayin min aniyim. Right? Because we do sometimes we don't take aniyim seriously enough at times. Ava achshav haramayim gormim lana. But here, what's the reason why it happens? And this is the reality, right? You don't always know if someone's being honest, right? You don't know if that person's telling the truth or not. So because there are people who swindle well intentioned, Balei Tzedakah. So the Balei Tzedakah now have to be more concerned. You can show us a tutah, make sure we know, et cetera, et cetera. You ask some many questions. You're a little not so convinced, right? So the point being, he argues that because of those people, though, what ends up happening is that those of us who don't always aren't as quick to give tzedakah, so we have a little bit of an excuse, at least, right? An explanation for why we act that way. Okay. V'tani Rabbi Chiya bar Rav Midifti, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha Omer, Rabbi Chiya
bar Rav Midifti says,
for any person who looks the other way when tzedakah is necessary, so that's if they served Avodah Zarah. How do I know? Right, because the pasuk says you have to be careful to make sure that there isn't something in your heart that is, you know, Belial is the language of Belial, right? A person who has no doesn't take a responsibility, right? So doesn't have the yoke on their neck, literally. So you should be careful. Don't be a person in your heart you act in a way that's Belial. Uksifasam yatsu anashim b'nei Belial. And the pasuk also says there are people who went out. They're b'nei Belial. So malahal navoros kuchavim. I've kind of rose kochav. I mean, the first example is talking about a person who doesn't give tzedakah. So don't be a person who has in your heart, you know, Belial. And then so in the other case is actually mamish talking about Vodazar. So you see, a person who doesn't give tzedakah is like a person who serves Vodazar. Fine. So the point being, have to be careful to make sure that we don't overlook aniyim, but at the same time, these ramayin, so they give us a little bit of an out when we make a mistake. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, Hamesame es eno, Vamatzva es bitno, Vamifakeach, Vamikapeach hashoko. So let's say a person doesn't have these things or not. These things didn't actually happen to him, but he pretends. Right? So he pretends that he wears an eye patch. He pretends that he's blind in one eye. Or he pretends that his stomach is bloated. Or he pretends that his leg has some type of injury. Right? So if a person does one of these things, right, Rashi says, "Hamisameis eino mares atzmo ki ilu eino smuya." He pretends that he's blind in one eye. Mekapeach shoko ki ilu shoko nichvetzas. Right, as if his leg was damaged or hurt. So what happens in such a situation? Says the Gemara, "Eino niftar mina olam achi yavo lidekach." So if you pretend that that's what's happening to you, so then before you leave the world, Hashem's going to make sure that before that person leaves the world, Hashem will make sure that the person actually has this ailment. Right? If you're going to pretend that way, presumably pretend that way to get tzedakah or to get treated a certain way, etc. So then Akash Baruch Hu will make sure that that person has that experience. Okay. A mekabel tzedakah v'ein tzarech l'kach. A person who takes tzedakah when they don't need it. Sofo eini niftar mina olam ad shi yavlu l'kach. So same thing. So the person pretends to need tzedakah when they really don't need tzedakah. So then, at the end of the day, they're going to find themselves in a situation where they're going to require it. Tranhasam. Ein mechayven osolim kor as beso ves klitash misho. Right, so we don't require the person. This is fine. So all this is true about, on the one hand, being careful of people who accept tzedakah. On the other hand, being careful that you're a person who is being honest about what you actually need when you come to accept. Fine. Now the Gemara says, we have a mission on the one hand that says that when a person is poor, you know, and pour a certain amount, right? Rashi says, "Ein mechaven asolim kor." Rashi says, "Reisha de masnisin mishi yeshlo masayim zuz lo yito leket shicha v'peir." So the beginning of that Mishnah is that a person who has 200 zuz, so that person is not allowed to accept, like, you know, collect leket shicha v'peir, because they're not defined as an ani if they have 200 zuz. So continue next Rashi, "Ein mechaven asolim kor lahashli masayim zuz." So what happens if a person has, 185 zuz, right? And but they also have property. They also have, you know, metaltlin. They have some things in their house. So if they would sell those things, so then they would be, they really would have more than Messiah zuz. But currently they have less. So what do we say? Does the person have to, you know, sell their items in order to make sure that they are now, you know, above the threshold, and that's why, and therefore they can't collect, or we don't say that to a person? So, fine. So Tanana, or we say then you have to sell your items and use them, and then once you've, you know, then you fall below the threshold, then it counts. So basically, do we count the kalim that a person has to make them to you know, consider their net worth, basically. So fine. So Tanana has to make mechayav no salim koras beso ves klei tashmisho. He doesn't sell his house or sell his bed and his iPhone and whatever, in order to make sure that he has, as we determine his total net worth, to make him, or basically, do we measure their needs, the person's needs, by their net worth, or do we measure it by what they, you know, cash they have on hand? So the question is, well, really? V'atanya, hay mishtamish b'kli zahav, yishtamish b'kli kasef. What do you mean? But I have another b'raisa that says that a person who's poor, so then they have to, we require them to start using lower level items, right? Presumably means they sell the other items, and now they have the lower level ones, and that's why they're still able to collect, because they're now you know, they're being responsible also, you know. They're making sure that they're using, you know, less fancy items, and then, okay, so then they can go ahead and collect tzedakah. So which one is it? So Amar Zid, lo kasha, haba mita v'shulchan, haba kosis v'ka'aros. So Zid said, well, it depends what you're asking them to sell, right? So the point being, presumably at this point it means that mita and shulchan, it's funny, we would think that mita and shulchan, we're going to see the Gemara's have the other side also, but we would have said that mita and shulchan are like basic necessities, like your bed is something you can't be expected to sell. So at this point, the Gemara assumes that mita and shulchan are things that you could sell, right? As opposed to kosis v'ka'aros, which you can't replace, presumably, more difficult to replace. So Gemara says, ma'ishna kosis v'ka'aros delo, da amar ma'isi lei. Right, mita v'shochanami amar lo mikavli lavai. Meaning, what you think that? So Gemara's response is, what do you mean? But the person's cups and plates, they might say, ah, I can't use other ones. What? But that's true by a bed and a table also. Right, the person's also going to like, what are they going to do? So that's the point being, they swap them out. So the point is that the mita and shochan, presumably you could swap out. The Gemara says, that also you could be upset about and not want to swap out. So what's the difference? So not a good answer. So Amar Rava, Breda Rava, B'machareisha, the Kaspa. So Rava, you know, the son of Rava says, no, we're talking about a plow that's made out of silver. Okay, so that's an easier one, right? That's something that you could like, you could swap that one out, and that's like particularly fancy, so that could be swapped out. Rav Papa Amar Lokasha Kan Kodem Shiyavli the Giboy Kan La'acha Shiyavli the Giboy. So Rava says, look, we're talking about things that are particularly, you know, expensive that could easily be swapped out. Presumably the point is that if it's a machresha shal kesef, and that usually the plows are not made out of silver, I could find other ones that are very suitable that a person would be willing to accept the swap, right? So Rav Papa says, no, it depends, is this before the person comes to lead the giboy or after they come to lead the giboy? So what does that mean? Rashi says, Kan kon v'shev the giboy hadis nan ein mechayvin mikara. And when is it that we see we don't require the person, like, initially to sell their items? That's, right? So when they show up and they want to collect, right? Right? He doesn't have 200 zuz. So then, meaning, when do we say we don't require it? He shows up, he's showing up to collect, so we say, okay, as long as he doesn't have 200 zuz, we'll let him collect. When do we say that he has to, you know, sell his items? Meaning, what's the situation where they again, Bali the Giboy is when the Bezdin is now starting to collect money from him because he, owes money, etc. When we say that we require the person to pay, you know, to sell their items, that's when they've already come to this point where Bezdin is collecting from him, and meaning what? Meaning he had 200 zuz, and nevertheless, he did the wrong thing, right? He had 200 zuz, and he went and collected like Shechavapeya. V'no d'sha'ashir haya. And we find out that, wait a second, what's going on here? He had enough money, right? So Bezdin b'ayin v'govin him anyway. Wow, right? So Bezdin shows up at his door, heard you were collecting, the cameras caught you collecting the Shechavapeya, but we heard that you have enough money, right? So therefore, when Bezdin comes to collect, they come to collect from him, v'ayin lo k'dei l'shalem, and he doesn't have enough money to pay it off, right, so mocha klei tashmisho hayikarim umishtavish b'chusim. So then he has to swap it out. Right, so the giboy shebezin govin him. Anyway, so the point being, what's the two sides? On the one hand, we don't require the person to sell their items, right, to come below, you know, to see that they're really below the 200 zuz threshold. And on the other hand, we said, yeah, a person's willing to swap it out. So the answer is that if the person is just coming to collect, so as long as their cash on hand is less than 200 zuz, we let them go right ahead. But if they go ahead and they collect when their cash on hand at the time was above, and now they're below, okay, so fine. But now we say, you know, well, if he comes on to pay Bezdin back, you have to sell your sell the items he had. I guess the point being, because otherwise you would argue, what do you mean I have to pay back? Now I'm below 200 zuz. And the answer is, yeah, but when you collect, you didn't, so now you have to pay off, you know, sell off your items. Fine. Okay. Okay, next. It's like an interesting balance there of, like, you know, the responsibility of the klal to the ani and the responsibility of the ani to the klal at the same time, which I think is very interesting. Okay. Next Mishnah. Yesoma shi'isiya ima o achiha midaita. So let's say there was a young woman whose father passed away, so she's a Yesoma, and her mother or her brother, we've seen this before, right? The idea of the mother and the brother selling, you know, marrying her off. And they marry her off, and she with her das.
Because la bemer v'chavishim zus,
right? And they write for her a dowry of 150 zus. Okay, so what happens? Yecholahi mishe tagdil lahotzi miyadan masharoli nasinla. So when she gets older, she can now go back to her family and say, "No, I need more than that. You gave me 50 or 100, but really, you can go back and say, this is what we, you know, what I really would have been able to take. Let's say if I was a gadola, I was getting married, and Abba was marrying me off, so he would have given more money. So she can go back, depending on what the family's situation is, she can go back and say, that's what you're supposed to, ask your family to give her that money. And Yehuda Omer, imihisi es habas harishona, inas nishniya, imihisi es habas harishona, inas nishniya, kederach shenas nishniya. So Yehuda says, well, it's very easy. Presumably the father had married off the first daughter, right? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, first of all, midaita rebusa kamash melanda afabishin is ratzes ein mechilasa mechila. Why are we saying there's midaita? Midaita doesn't mean she knew what was going on. So we could have said to her, what do you mean? When we married you off, we gave 50 zuz, and you knew that, and you were happy with that. That's not the answer. Is that no? Even if that happens, she can still go back when she becomes a gadola and say no. Okay, Rashi says Masharoi Litain La Ishur Dechasim, right? Meaning depending on what they have, right? More money, and what happens im Isi Ha'av Bechayav Es Habas Rishona, right? If when the father was alive, he married off the first daughter, right? And he gave a certain amount. So I mean, the second one gets married, so the family presumably has to give the second daughter the same. Rashi says, "Yinasein v'chule bein shu ishor bein shu pachos bein shu yosef." Right, whatever it is, whatever that man is, he has to pay that off. Okay. V'chachamim omrim, wait a second. Pa'amim sha'adam ani v'heshir or ashir v'ha'ani. That's not necessarily true, but meaning if the one child got married, you know, in whatever year, and then 5 years later the next child is getting married, the person's financial situation might have changed. Right. So who says you have to pay exactly the same amount of money now? Right, maybe he's worth more money now. Maybe he's worth less money. Ella shamnes nechasim v'nosinah. So rather, says to the chacham, no, that's not fair. We're not going to do that. Rather, we figure out exactly, how much that person, the value what they have, and we give her the money accordingly. What's not clear, I should say, from this mission is: when we talk about the first one, the second one, is that specifically the case again of the yisoma, or is that all the time? So we'll have to see as we move along. How that shakes out. Okay. 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 So that's the Gemara. So Amr Shmuel le Parnasa shavim ba'av. So Shmuel says when it comes to Parnasa, so we take we appraise the value that the net worth of the father. Actually, says the Parnasa shavim ba'av habas yisoma. Shabbos Ninase. Again, when the daughter is Yosoma and she comes to get married, Nosin on the Dunya kafi omed sha'anu bekiyin ba'aviha vatran o kamsan. Right, so we estimate not just what his money that he has, but we take into account his personality. His personality. Is he a person who was generous or not so generous? So they would figure that out when they would decide how much money she could get. So basically, it brings a contradiction. Wait a second. Habanos nizonos umis parnasos v'nichze avien. But we said that the daughters are, taken care of financially
by the state of their father. Ketan, how's that work?
Ein omrim ilu avio kayam kach v'kach hayanosin la. We don't say, if your father was alive, he would give you the following. El hasham nes nechasim v'nosin la. We just appraise the value of the nechasim we give him to her. So what's happening here? You just told me that when we give the money over for her to get married, we figure out what the father's personality was, what he would give. And now you're telling me that when a young woman is being financed by her father's estate, we don't ask the question what his personality is and what he would have said. We just figure out what the value of the estate is, and we give her based on that. So what's going on? And my love, Parnassus Habal. Someone says, oh no, maybe that's talking about the Parnassus Habal. Sorry. And the Gemara is asking, my love, parnasav. I mean, isn't that the money that's given to the husband? Rashi says, parnasav habal, right? Nidunya shel nisuin, right? Isn't that the meaning we're saying? The amount that we give, and this is presumably the same exact, you know, calculation for the money that we're giving to her when she gets married. So Amar Nachman Yitzchak lo, parnasav atzma. No, we're not talking about when she's getting married. That meaning when she gets married, that's when we ask the question, what did your father have given? But the question of just general being with finance her in general, and Rashi is mizonos ba'oda eitzel achin, and when she's just like in the house, so that amount of money is not dependent on how much did he like you. That's dependent on what he's planning to give any. What it's basically a general calculation, not based on his personality. Okay, where it says honey zonis umisparnisos katani. It says both, right? Nizonos and misparnisos. My love, achas parnasos abal. Presumably can include both. Right? It's all the money that he gives her. Some of the money he just gives to herself, and some of the money that she gives when she gets married. So lo, atzma. No, so really it's all talking about the money that's given just to her for herself. So why say two things? Lo kasha, ha bachil b'shtia, ha b'lavusha v'kisuya. Right? So no, one is talking about the money that she needs to eat and drink, and one is for clothing. Right? So it's two separate amounts, and neither of them reflect the money that's given at the Nidunya. Okay. So no contradiction, presumably. So Tanan v'chacham omrim, so we have a Mishnah that tells us, the Chacham said, Pam sha'adam ani v'hisha, this is our Mishnah. Right? Sometimes the person is ani, and he becomes an ashir. Oh, ashir v'hani, or he was an ashir and becomes, and now becomes poor. So what's happening? So el shaman and nechasim and enosin la. So rather we, evaluate and we give it to her. So my ani, my ashir. So what does it mean that he becomes, that he's poor or he's rich? What is that? How do we define that? And if you want to say that that being ani means he has less stuff, and if he's an usher means he has more, so mechala tanakama savar, afilu usher ve'ani kin mikarya vinala, right? V'halesle. I mean, if usher and ani, mamish means usher and ani, right? If it literally means has enough money, doesn't have enough money. So if that's true, so that, again, only chachamim are worried about that. So what does that mean? It means the tanakama says, no, we don't care. You give as much as you gave the first time, no matter what money you have. What do you mean? Maybe he doesn't have the money. So what's going on here? So elav ani bedas asher bedas. So it doesn't mean in wealth. It means bedas. Rashi, what do we mean? Ani bedas says Rashi ain bedaito litain la nedunyas asher el nedunyas ani. Right, meaning it's less about the amount of money he has. It's the amount of, again, what the mindset is of the father in that case. You could call it personality, whatever you want to call it. But it's something about what his intentions were, right? So in Cain, it's not an amount per se, but it's like percentage-wise, etc. And that's how we figured it out. Okay. Ukatani shamanes nechasim v'nosan la. Right? But it says that we evaluate the nechasim and give to her. Right? Ama lozlinam basar umdana. Right? So you see that there, you don't go according to, again, what I would think someone would do, what they would say, v'tiyufta d'shmuel. So that's still a contradict in Shmuel. The point being, regardless of what it is, none of this is about what his, you know, mindset is or what you would think he would do. Right? Umdana here, right, is what we assume we would know about him, right? So these things are not true, and that therefore becomes tiyufta d'shmuel, who said that when we go, you know, when we determine how much money she's going to give her, that we, you know, look at personality. So tiyufta d'shmuel, that clearly we don't look at personality. Okay. So Huda Omer, and Huda Omer ki Rabbi Huda, and that seems to follow the approach of Rabbi Huda. Why? This non Rabbi Huda Omer, because Rabbi Huda said the following. Im Hesi Bas Harishona Yinasan Nishniya Kader Shanasan Larishona. Right? That Rabbi Huda said that if you marry off your first daughter, right, so you should give the second one the same way that you gave to the first one. Right? Fine. So that seems to be, again, that was an approach. But if meaning that Shmuel, right? That Shmuel sounds like Rabbi Yehuda? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right, so that's true. So it sounds like Shmuel is like Rabbi Yehuda. So the question is, halacha Rabbi Yehuda. So why does Shmuel need to say his own opinion? Just say, halacha is Rabbi Yehuda. So the question is, no, I'm halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Havimina dafka hisia the galidaite. Avalo hisia lo. No, so if that's true, if what is Rabbi Yehuda, I would say that's only when, specifically when he married her off. Right, so when he marries her off, now he shows, reveals it's what he thinks. But if he hadn't actually married anyone off, so then we wouldn't know what to do. Right? We couldn't say for sure. Right? So Kamash Malan, time of Rabbi Yehuda Dazlina Basar Umdina. Lo Shna Yisiyah, Velo Shna, Lo Yisiyah. Right? So you see, no, Rabbi Yehuda said, what Shmuel was explaining is that the point of Rabbi Yehuda is just to know in general that we follow what the father would have said, whether he's done it or not. Right? Behind the Ketani Yisiyah, why do we say that? He actually married her off, Lo Diyach HaKochan Derabbanan, right, to show the strength of the opinion of the Rabbanan, the Avagav Yisiyah, the Galay Daite, even though he did it already, he married her off, and he showed what he really thinks, laws didn't bust Umdina. And in that case, we don't go bust Umdina. So that's why Shmuel didn't just say like Rabbi Yehuda, because he wanted to, you know, strengthen this idea that in each direction. On the one hand, that that even if according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if he never did anything, we have to figure out what he would have given. But as opposed to the Rabbanan would say, even if he's done it already, it doesn't make a difference, we're not going to go bust Umdina. Fine, so we'll stop here and we'll pick up tomorrow.